Boy, it's so hard not to keep singing. A song just keeps coming out of my innermost being. Because he's so good. I'm so glad you guys are here tonight. Are you glad?
Yes.
I think he is too. You know why? Because he's here. He appeared to me one time. And he told me Shabbat was his favorite time of the week. You know why? Because it's family time. Then he said, and it still is his favorite time of the week, because it's family time. Now, whether you do Shabbat Friday night and Saturday, or whether you do Shabbat Saturday night and Sunday, whether you do it Monday or Tuesday, he just loves family time. Isn't that wonderful? He's so personable. I better start speaking or I'm going to be singing again. Okay. It's just the thought of him and how wonderful he is. He is the way of life. In him is life. In him is light that leads you in the life. Come to the light. How? Get out his word and meditate on it until it becomes a part of you. You want his word more than you want to eat. That's the hunger of heaven. I just saw him. And he stretched out his hand to you. And he said, my little children, come, eat of my bread, drink of my wine, and I will fill your cup. His hand is outstretched. You never have to say yes. But who in the right mind would ever say no? May I tell you a story? This took place after our second gathering of the Eagles. We'd been up in Washington, D.C. As it turned out, my plane was the first plane allowed back in Washington, D.C. after 9/11. And we were there to do the gathering of the Eagles to pray for our nation and to pray for Washington, D.C. When we finished that gathering, I went and I hid myself away in a mountain cabin. And by the time I arrived, I'd caught a bug, so I was feeling really sick, and I arrived too late to really go and get anything. It was a Friday night, and I wanted to share Shabbat with the Lord. But you see, I was up in a mountain community, so nothing was open that late. So I took my stuff into the cabin. I made myself at home. I sat down on the sofa and I said, Lord, I want to share Shabbat with you so badly tonight, but I have no bread and I have no grape juice for communion. And he appeared to me, and in his hand he had a loaf of bread, and he had a cup of grape juice. And I said, Lord, you have communion. He said, I've come to share a Shabbat with you. Eat of his bread. Eat of his bread. The call is so simple tonight. The love of God calling for you. He wants his love to soften your heart so that you can feel. Let him permeate you with himself. He's so simple, so uncomplicated. We want to make him so complicated, but he's just not. He's so simple, and he will lift you up into the glory of his love. You don't need, an eloquent sermon to experience the love of God, do you? Only a heart that is willing to open and say, yes, Lord. Fill my cup. Fill my cup with you. The light of the Lord is on you tonight, Denny. It's so beautiful. If you knew, every time you prayed, that you were having fellowship with the Son, would you pray more? Do you not know that every time you come to him in the true spirit of prayer, you are dining on the Son? Now, listen to me. If you come to him murmuring, complaining, in bitterness of spirit, if you've given people in your world a hard time today, if you have found yourself accusatory, argumentative, combative, then when you come and you pray, you cannot enter his presence in the spirit of prayer. Not possible. You can talk, but he's not listening. I bet you didn't know that, did you? If he were listening, he might have to chasten you. So he just doesn't listen. But when you settle your heart and you remember who is God and you remember who is Lord and you allow your heart to be at peace with his lordship and you make right the wrongs, immediately his ear is bent down deep into your prayer. And the fellowship begins. No place else I'd rather be than in the fellowship of the Son. Create in me a clean heart and a right spirit, O Lord. Create in me a clean heart and a right spirit, O Lord. How I want my heart to be clean and my spirit to be right before you, that I may have fellowship with you in the spirit of prayer. When you lift up his name and you remember how great he is, you remember that he is the one who created heaven and earth. You remember he is the one who gave his life for you. You remember that he is holy, just, and pure, and his heart is set upon you. Though he is God, he is your friend. If all be against you, and God is for you, you will not fall and you will not fail. But if all be for you and God is against you, you cannot stand. That is lots to praise him for, isn't it? When you remember his goodness, how can you not want to praise him? Am I saying the truth? When you remember who he is, he is mercy. He is truth. He is goodness. He is compassion. He is holy. He is justice. He is love. And he loves you. How can you not have a smile on your face? And I see so many of you just sitting here so straight-faced. Doesn't that make you smile? It always makes me smile to remember who is my God and who he is. When you pray, pray like this, like I just shared. Begin your prayer remembering who he is and lauding him, extolling him for who he is. Don't go into the prayer closet and say, Lord, I hate my boss. Give me a new boss. He might give you a new boss, but may I tell you one of his secrets? The new boss may just be worse than the one you've got. Because God wants to teach us to praise him in all things. He wants to teach us to love him in the midst of all things and to learn the lessons that he's put before us, which we cannot do if we're complaining and murmuring. Amen? So we come before him. Things may not be going really well. In fact, things may be going really rough. But he's God. He's God. The situation isn't God. The circumstances are not God. The people that we're having difficulty with are not God. Our own heart is not God. He is God. So no matter how rough it is, no matter how hopeless the situation may seem, he's still God. He's still God. It's amazing what he can help you overcome. May I tell you a secret? I have had a pretty bad heart condition for a long time. In August, I almost didn't survive. I almost didn't make it. September was worse than August. We never knew from one day to the next if I was going to be here. My team is here, they can tell you. But every day, I never complained. I never murmured. Every day, I remembered how great is my God. And I rested in his hands. No matter how bad my heart got, and no matter how great the suffering, how much pain I was in, I would remember every moment the love of my God. How good He is, and how good He is to me. Now, there were moments of fear, because it did get really bad. And I didn't know if I was going to make it or I wasn't, except the promise of God. So I would deal with fear from time to time. But mostly, I rested in peace. Mostly, I rested in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Mostly, I rested in the arms of prayer because my colleagues were praying for me. Seemed like almost day and night. And you know what? I won. Satan lost. I won. Now, what would have happened if I had spent that whole time murmuring and complaining? Well, I probably still would have won because the Lord wasn't ready to let me go home. But I would have felt so bad because He came through and all I did was murmur and complain. Now, I know none of you have ever done that, right? Never. You've never put on the sad soap for the Lord, right? You've never sat around feeling sorry for yourself, for your many troubles, right? Never. Because you wouldn't do that, right? But you've probably got neighbors on both sides that do, right? The nice thing is if you don't, then when the trial is over, you're free. No guilt, because you didn't do it wrong. And you've grown because you learned to trust. You learned to trust. Now, every day I get out of bed, I learn to trust for today. Only for today. I've learned at this time in my life, that's how I have to walk. Trust for today. And He gets me through every day. And we rejoice together. We laugh together. My colleagues and I, we see great miracles happen because we pray and because we believe. Prayer is a marvelous thing, but more marvelous than prayer is God. Now, doesn't that just make you want to get saved? Jesus never had to get sick to learn dependency. But boy, His troubles were many. His trials were great. We read, you know, about His life through the Gospels, and we think He just flew over every cloud. You know, and he had a great time here until the end. He just handled things because He always had the right answer. Have you noticed that? Have you ever read those passages and thought, why can't I always have the right answer? He always had the right answer. He turned every wrong question into a praise for God. He just seemed to be so smart. But the trials were many. He had the joy of the Lord. He had the joy, the oil of joy. Please say, the oil of joy. Please say it again. I want you to feel it right here. He had the oil of joy. He had the oil of joy above His fellows. He had the oil of joy because He believed in the one who was His Father. And he had the oil of joy because he loved. And he never chose himself over another. And for those two reasons, he stayed in constant fellowship with the Father. Think about that. That is a wonderful place to be. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me so strong. You have grace enough to fly over every storm. This is what he's saying to you. You have grace enough to rise above every storm. You have grace enough to spread your wings and draw near God. You have grace enough to know him in the dark places, to know him when the sun is shining bright. There's someone in this room who is suffering at the hands of someone they love. And God wants you to know he's your friend. And he's going to help you. You have grace enough for less of you and more of him. You have grace enough to receive the knowledge, the wisdom, and the revelation of God that can get you as far as you want to go into the life of the kingdom, where you and not your enemy is the one ruling and reigning. You have grace enough. You have grace enough to understand the ways of God. You do. You have grace enough to be more than you have been. You have grace enough to be more than you have ever thought you could be in God. You have grace enough to rule in this life, to bring your flesh under subjection, so that you can live, listen to these words. These words are from the throne of God to your heart, so that you can live by the life of the one who bought your soul. Life extraordinaire. You have grace enough to know, to walk in, to live in the life of divine love. To know what it's like to walk in the life of the Spirit that lifts you above yourself and everything the enemy sets into your life in his attempt to rule you. May grace and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitated passion and moral conflicts be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Listen to this, for his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence. He's already done it.
He's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's already done it. By means of these, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceeding great promises, so that through them you may escape by flight from the moral decay, the rottenness, and the corruption that is in the world, because of the covetousness, lust, and greed, and become sharers and partakers of the divine nature. Oh, he's already given us the grace to become partakers of the divine life and nature of Christ.
How marvelous he is. How marvelous a God he is. It's not something he will give you. He's already done it. You can become just like Jesus with the deposit of grace he's put within you. In that seed of life is the knowledge of him that has the power to transform your soul. Your problem today is not your problem. Your problem is you need more knowledge of him. You need to dine upon Christ because he is the life. You need to drink of the life. Drink of the strength. Drink of the life. Drink of the love. Drink of the grace. Drink of the joy. Drink of the Lord. That doesn't sound so hard, does it? We've been given all things that pertain to what? Pertain to the life of this world? No. You got enough of that all thing before you got saved, right? Now it's time to break free of all that. You've been given all things that pertain to his life and the godliness it creates within. And that godliness, my dear brothers and sisters, is so beautiful in the eyes of God. You know, when a man falls in love, now I only know this by hearsay because I'm not a man. But when a man falls in love, he likes to look at his bride, doesn't he? And when he looks at her, doesn't he say in his heart, "You're so beautiful, and you're mine"? He may never say that to her, or he may not say it very often, but he thinks it. "You're so beautiful. And you're mine." And when Christ looks at you and you are clothed in godliness, he looks at you and he says in his heart, "You're so beautiful." And this is the part he likes the most. "And you're mine." When you're godly, you leave the world behind and the ways of the world. And when you are clothed in godliness, I'm seeing a most marvelous vision right now. And it is a vision of the bride. And her face is translucent with glory. And she is beautiful in his sight. Be clothed with Christ. How? You pray. It's the only way. All that reservoir of grace that is within you is released to become strength through prayer. It is the only, please say only, it is the only way You can never be what he's called you to be, what he's created you to be, what he's recreated you to be, what he's put in of himself for you to be, unless you pray. Because you can't do it in your own strength. No man can. Only those things that man cannot do are we concerned that God can do. And those things that we cannot do, he is more than willing to do. But we must pray. We must pray. How do we pray? With a happy heart. With a joyful heart. With a heart filled with faith. With a heart filled with trust. So that we are an open repository for him to continue the work of pouring himself in you. Does that sound like a wonderful life? Pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy glorious name. Holy be your name in me, Lord. Let me reflect the glory of your presence, the glory of your holiness, for you are holy. Wonderful in your working, Lord. Creator of heaven and earth. Redeemer of my soul. You are my Lord. You are my friend. My ever-present help in the time of need. You are beauty. You are grace. That's how you pray. That's how you begin your prayer. Now you've got his full attention. Now he's ready to hear whatever you have to say. Just stay in the spirit. Don't come down into the soul. We bless you tonight, Lord. You are blessing, you are glory, and you are honor. And we bless you tonight, Lord. Bless your people, Lord. Bless them with the knowledge of your love. Bless them with the knowledge of your care. Bless them, Lord, how they need it. They need to be touched by your wonderful hand. For you open your hand and you satisfy every living thing. We give you praise tonight.